The Island Digest is a sampling of the stories in this week's Journal of the San Juans, Islands Sounder, and Islands Weekly, which are on newsstands now. The November 2nd edition is brought to you by Orcas Center. I'm Caleb Summers. Headlines from the week of November 2nd, 2022. Victorious Vikings. With new perspective on addiction, community programs evolve. A win despite the score. Volleyball update. Possible safety issue with flight control in fatal seaplane crash in September. Plus, choice excerpts from the San Juan County Sheriff's log. From the Islands Sounder, Victorious Vikings. Volleyball, soccer, and cross-country continue to advance in playoffs. By Colleen Smith Summers. It's been a banner season across the board for the Orcas Vikings. The Lady Vikings volleyball team has brought home the title of district champs, a feat that has only happened in 1992 and 2004. "This team is an amazing team," said head coach Rachel Wilson. "When they are on together, they are a top team in the state for this level. It's an exciting time for them." On Friday, October 28th, the team beat Concrete in three. Wilson said Concrete is always a scrappy team, and we never quite know what we will get in return or where they will place the ball. They help keep us on our toes for the unexpected. The following day, the Vikings took on Darrington, beating them in five. The first game was a nail-biter. "Darrington always gives us high competition and helps us push our maturity and composure by playing consistently and aggressively," Wilson said. The team then moved on to the district championship game against Mount Vernon Christian. Wilson said the girls came out ready and together with a belief in their ability and their teammates. "They played consistent with fire and unity," she said. "When these girls play their game with passion, control, and unity, they are a very difficult team to beat." The Vikings swept MVC in three, earning them the title of district champs. "The girls have earned this win, and our one senior, Shay Spinner, has seen and been part of the process from when I first came in and began coaching," Wilson shared. "All the players have dedicated so much to their teammates, and it makes me so proud and happy for them to feel these accomplishments together." On November 1st, Evergreen Lutheran and Darrington are headed to Orcas, where they will play each other. The winner of that game will take on the Vikings, who are currently seeded number 2 in the Tri-Districts. The high school cross-country team has qualified for the state championships. The Vikings traveled to Fort Steilacoom Park near Tacoma on Thursday, October 27th, to compete in the Tri-District Championship meet. The top 21 finishers in both the girls' and boys' race qualified for the Washington State Cross-Country Championships in Pasco on November 5th. In the girls' race, August Moore placed 10th to qualify for the state meet, while Ryan Krishdare, Evan Culper, and Finn Antjes finished 13th, 17th, and 18th, respectively, in the boys' race to advance as well. According to coach Mike Culper, OIHS has only had one other runner, Ryan's older brother Jaden, qualify for the state meet. Jaden accomplished the feat in 2018 and 2019. August is the school's first girl to advance to the state meet. The Orcas soccer team is now the 2022 Northwest 1B/2B League champions. After a full week of games, the Vikings were able to finish up the year with a record of 13-1 and a league record of 8-0. The team had three games last week, one at Cedar Park and then hosting both Coopville and LeConnor. None of these games were close, with the Vikings winning by a combined score of 21-2. The week was headlined by the Vikings' senior game against Coopville. The following seniors were honored: Tommy Anderson Cleveland, Celia Greniger, Pedro Guerrero, Diego Lago, Nicholas Rivera, and Paxton White. The soccer team is one of the most decorated groups in school history, with 3 league championships, a district title, a state championship victory, 2 co-MVPs, and a multitude of all-league nominations. The Vikings start their playoff campaign on November 1st in Cedro Woolley versus Auburn Adventist. From the Journal of the San Juan Islands, with new perspective on addiction, community programs evolve. By Heather Spaulding. With law enforcement no longer the lead point for substance abuse intervention, several community peer-based programs are developing to support addicts in their journey toward recovery. The Blake decision removed the justice system as the primary intervener for people with serious substance use issues, said Richard Urey, a substance use disorder professional and behavioral health coordinator at San Juan County Health and Community Services. He spoke to the Journal about his personal experience. The new point of intervention will be families, treatment centers, and other healthcare facilities. In February 2021, the Washington State Supreme Court ruled in a 5-4 decision in the state of Washington versus Blake that the state's law outlawing possession of drugs such as cocaine, methamphetamine, and heroin for personal use was unconstitutional. The decision led to the immediate dismissal across the state of pending drug possession charges and the need to vacate or erase prior convictions under the drug statute. Recovery rides, recovery cafes, and the Recovery Navigator program are all a part of that effort. See, new program to help islanders receive transportation to off-island rehab centers by Colleen Smith-Summers in the Journal's July 6th issue to learn more about recovery rides. Read the full article at www.sanjuanjournal.com. The New Day Recovery Cafe will open on November 8th in Friday Harbor. It is located in the new building on Mullis Street near Bakery San Juan and the Food Co-op. The name reflects the concept that in recovery, individuals need to get through one day at a time. Recovery cafes are a nationwide model that provides support for recovering addicts, according to Joyce Sobel, Family Resource Center's peer support specialist, Mary Urey. The Resource Center's executive director, Jennifer Armstrong, said 2 generous grants enabled the launching of the cafe. The New Day Recovery Cafe Network provided $50,000, and the Washington State Healthcare Authority grant of $56,340. The Healthcare Authority grant is being shared between our center and the Lopez Family Resource Center, which is also launching the program at the same time as us, Armstrong explained. Mary said she saw a huge need as she stepped into her role with the center. "It's a thread that runs through our high-needs population," she said. Mary pointed out there is no housing dedicated to clean and sober living in the county, which would make a huge impact on those with substance abuse disorders. Mary struggled with addiction herself. After receiving treatment, she craved a place where she could just be and hang out with those who were going through similar issues. "I actually love it when a person can be honest and say, 'I'm not doing so great today,'" she said. In order to qualify for a cafe membership, the individual simply must be clean and sober. They can visit the cafe a couple of times to see if it's a good fit, but after that, they become a member. In the morning, coffee and pastries will be offered, and for lunch, there will be soup and bread. All food is donated. Board games, puzzles, and other activities will be available, and Mary noted she would love to see members doing projects like trash pickups and tidying up a garden, or giving back to the community in some way. Staff will be present to check people in. If a person tries to attend who is not sober, they will be turned away. It will be with love. The staff person may say something like, "How about tomorrow? Let's try again tomorrow," Mary said. Cafe members will sign up for chores, like serving the food or doing dishes. The meal will not be served until all chore slots are filled. There will also be 5 minutes of silence before eating to provide time for people to think, reflect, or even pray. "It just creates a really beautiful space," Mary said. In order to maintain membership to the cafe, one does need to attend its support group. If they miss one, they will lose their membership. The primary focus is loving accountability. There is a separate room off the cafe where support groups meet with generally 8 people in attendance. People can talk about what is going on with them, what they are struggling with, and what they would like to see differently in their lives, and receive feedback from support members. The cafe could use volunteers. "Anyone who has a heart for recovery, we can use volunteers to be a part of it," Mary said. Like the New Day Cafe, Compass Health's Recovery Navigator program strives to meet substance users where they are currently and focus on harm reduction. RNP was created in the wake of the Blake decision to provide short-term assistance while addressing the immediate needs of the individual and coordinating with resources for longer-term support. Currently, there are staff on Orcas, San Juan, and Lopez, and serve people on all islands. "Our clients generally have too many barriers, so we go to where they are at, home, coffee shops," said Teresa Tilton, manager of Compass Health's mobile crisis outreach in San Juan and Island counties. She added that a safety screening is done prior to that first meeting. "We are pushing for the patient, not for sobriety," she said. "Sometimes it can take 6 months to a year. Some people have to try 5 times, and we will still be there for them," Tilton said. RNP takes a holistic view as well, working with the substance user's entire family and multiple agents. "We want to create a support model to help facilitate change." Referrals come from families and law enforcement, and it isn't unheard of for a person to self-refer. The program is available to youth and adults. Tilton stated they are currently assisting at least 2 young islanders. All insurance types are accepted, and individuals without insurance will not be turned away. Staff can assist with food, shelter, and detox, and provide transportation to off-island detox centers if necessary. "Not every client requires the same amount of care, and if we are not a good fit, we will find someone that is," Tilton said. They are always happy to take calls, even from friends and family members. They are open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 360-200-7660. For more information, visit www.compasshealth.org/services/RNP. We know treatment helps. Drug courts were invented because there is proof that even reluctant treatment helps, said Judy Heineman, director of Skagit, Island, and San Juan County Compass Health Outpatient Services, adding that if a person does relapse after treatment, studies show they are more likely to seek help themselves. Addiction, Richard pointed out, while a healthcare issue, differs from other health problems. "We have to help them find solutions," Richard said. "We don't have to baby them, but be a part of their recovery process, a part of their support network." From the Islands Weekly, "A Win Despite the Score," Volleyball Update, by Gene Helfman. Success in sports is often measured by wins and losses, but this narrow view can miss an equally important measure of success, hard-won improvement. On October 14th, the Lopez volleyball team traveled to Fellowship Christian and got swept 3-0. Not only did the dispirited Lobos lose, but they lost big, scoring as few as 5 points in one game. A week later, Fellowship Christian came to Lopez, determined to wipe out a bad memory and play their last home game of the season, when the four seniors would be honored. The Lady Lobos were a vastly improved volleyball team. Although the Eagles still won the match on strong serving and solid defense, Lopez put up a fight, the final scores being 25-14, 25-19, and 25-18. Lopez led in both the second and third games, with the score tied in the second game at 9-9 and 19-19. The match could easily have gone the other way. Coach Maria Steinbrück was ecstatic about her team's turnaround. To watch a team go from losing 5-25 previously to a point-by-point battle today was absolutely fantastic. The amount of effort they put into the sport is unmatched. These girls play with so much heart. Their skills have come so far this season. I feel honored to coach these young women, she said. In county news, possible safety issue with flight control in fatal seaplane crash in September. National Transportation Safety Board investigators identified a possible safety issue with a flight control of the de Havilland Canada DHC-3 that crashed into Mutiny Bay, Washington on September 4, 2022. The pilot and 9 passengers were fatally injured. Investigators found the horizontal stabilizer actuator, which is part of the airplane's pitch trim control system and is also referred to as the trim jack, had separated into 2 pieces. The actuator was found separated where the clamp nut threads into the barrel section. Examination of the threads inside the barrel and the threads on the clamp nut revealed that the 2 components separated by unthreading as opposed to being pulled apart in tension. A circular wire lock ring is used to prevent the barrel and clamp nut from unthreading. The lock ring was not yet located in the wreckage. This possible safety issue could result in a possible loss of airplane control. At this time, the NTSB does not know whether the lock ring was installed before the airplane impacted the water or why the lock ring was not present during the airplane examination. The NTSB, in coordination with the Transportation Safety Board of Canada, has asked that the manufacturer draft instructions for an inspection of the actuator to ensure that the lock ring is in place and properly engaged to prevent unthreading of the clamp nut. Those instructions will be released and provided to all operators of the DH-3 airplane worldwide in a service letter. The investigation into this accident will continue with examinations of both elevators in the NTSB Materials Laboratory, interviews of the FAA Principal Operations and Principal Maintenance Inspectors assigned to the operator, a review of maintenance records, including historical records for accidents, incidents, and service difficulty reports, and interviews with maintenance personnel. An evaluation of lock ring failure modes and lock ring installation instructions will be accomplished, in addition to an aircraft performance study. The wreckage recovery operation was completed on September 30th, with approximately 85% of the airplane recovered from the seafloor. A field examination of the wreckage occurred during the week of October 3rd, with follow-up activities in the NTSB Materials Laboratory in Washington, D.C. The horizontal stabilizer actuator and both elevators were shipped to the NTSB Materials Laboratory for further examination. All aspects of the crash remain under investigation while the NTSB determines the probable cause, with the intent of issuing safety recommendations to prevent similar crashes. The information in the update is preliminary and subject to change as the investigation continues. The full investigative update can be found on the investigation webpage, at www.ntsb.gov/investigations/documents. And now, excerpts from the San Juan County Sheriff's log. On October 20th, an Orcas deputy responded to a parking problem that ended up being a case of trespassing. A Lopez deputy stopped the driver of a vehicle traveling 24 miles per hour over the speed limit. The driver spoke briefly with the deputy, then drove away mid-contact without providing documentation. The officer submitted probable cause for eluding a felony in addition to traffic violations. On October 21st, a San Juan deputy was contacted about an item in the roadway, which was ultimately entered into evidence. A Lopez deputy received multiple calls about a speeding vehicle. Once the vehicle was located a short time later, the driver was issued a citation for operating without motor vehicle insurance. A deputy on San Juan responded to a single vehicle rollover collision. In a no-passing zone, the suspect vehicle attempted to pass a vehicle that had slowed for frogs crossing the road and lost control, hitting the embankment and rolling over. The driver was issued citations for passing in a no-passing zone. And apparently, the most important information relative to this incident is not included, which is, but were the frogs okay? On October 23rd, a deputy on Orcas responded to an animal-at-large call near North Beach. The dog was located and taken to the shelter. The owner contacted the shelter, arranged to pick up the dog, and received a citation since they had received many warnings and a warning letter. A deputy took a report of a stolen bicycle on San Juan. The bicycle was returned to the owner's residence while they were at the sheriff's office. The deputy attempted to contact the reporting party multiple times to obtain photos and video evidence, but the reporting party did not answer. This concludes the November 2nd edition of the Island Digest. This edition is brought to you by Orcas Center. Orcas Center is your place for fun and intrigue this fall with live concerts, performances, art openings, and more. To check out upcoming events and purchase tickets, visit www.orcascenter.org. Thank you for listening to the Island Digest, a small sampling of what's in your local print newspapers this week. The Journal, Sounder, and Weekly rely upon advertising, subscriptions, and donations to support our mission of high-quality community journalism. To contribute, visit our websites or email publisher Colleen Smith Summers at csmith@soundpublishing.com. Thanks again, and tune in next week for more local news from San Juan County, Washington. I'm Caleb Summers.